Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Tuesday, November 27th, and this is episode 235 of The Big Show. You know, before I get too deep into the show, I do want to thank our sponsor. We are brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment focuses on AI-driven content discovery and site search analytics that unlock revenue. You can learn more about how to improve your search results, your customer satisfaction, and your business results by going to solosegment.com. Again, that's solosegment.com, and I want to thank them again for continuing to sponsor Thinks Out Loud. I think we have a really, really cool show for you this week. Now, I will admit it's going to live up to the name Thinks Out Loud a bit more than usual, because I don't know that this is as fully baked as some episodes, but it's something that's been on my mind for some time. Now, there's a very famous Mark Andreessen article that he wrote for the Wall Street Journal several years back that explains why software eats the world. And I wanted to give you my take on this. As many of you know, much of the work that I do is in service industries, whether it's around financial services or hospitality or travel or technology, you know, typically software as a service. I do a lot of work in that space. But one of the things that I find fascinating is that between technology and the sharing economy, we're starting to see everything as a service. We're starting to see everything become a service. So I wouldn't say that software eats the world. I would start to say that services eat the world. You know, we buy services as we need them, and they have a very different reality than products. Now, for those of you who are in heavy manufacturing or who, you know, make something tangible, if you're not in services today, you may say, maybe not. But I ask you to hang with me a little bit. Now, the reason I ask you to hang with me is we are seeing an enormous shift in terms of how people use the services and the products that they lean towards, that they require, because of what digital enables them to do. You know, if you think about services, there's this famous construct, the five I's of service, the five I's of services. You know, these are things that distinguish services from products, and they are intangibility, inventory, meaning it's perishable, inseparability, meaning that you cannot remove the service from the actual experience of it. Inconsistency, meaning that, you know, you're not going to have a Six Sigma type thing where it's precisely the same every single time. And involvement, meaning that the customer plays a role in the overall experience. So again, that's intangibility, inventory, inseparability, inconsistency, and involvement. Now, if you think about some of these, like let's talk about intangibility. Now, clearly, this is an area where products and product manufacturers will say, well, that's not us. The internet doesn't make the product less tangible. What it does do is it makes the selling of that product, the how your customers use that product, the when your customers use that product, more or less tangible, rather. And we might see it make its production less tangible over time. You know, as we move towards a world of 3D printing, that becomes more of a risk. 3D printers are available for just a few hundred dollars now. But before we even go that far, think about the services that allow you to acquire goods and products only when you need them, you know, from things like Rent the Runway that allows you to rent fashion items as you need them, or, you know, not my core area of expertise, but obviously there are services that allow you to rent heavy machinery. And of course, we cannot forget somebody like Uber, who allows you to rent, who allows you to get a car, get transportation only when you need it, or Airbnb, who allow you to get a place to stay only when you need it. So intangibility, obviously the product will continue to be tangible, but what your customer's experience with that product is may change a lot. Now, when we think about inventory and the fact that it is perishable, clearly that's a huge challenge because obviously people can substitute, and we're finding that customers have increasing choices. Not finding. We know that customers have increased numbers of choices available to them. There are tons of available substitutes. Inseparability, of course, is a place where you already are very differentiated, or you can be. Now, this is a place where I think producers of goods are in big trouble over time if they're not differentiated, because your customers could choose anything else. The flip side is it could be an opportunity for you, because the intermediary, the party from which, you know, the channel from which your customers actually get your product today, could change a lot. And we're going to see a ton of this. We are seeing a ton of this because the internet disintegrates value chains really quickly and easily. You can integrate them quickly and easily as well. But you can connect directly with your customer, and the customer can connect directly with you so long as you're both willing to transact. And obviously, if we think about it, this is where Amazon lives these days. They're trying to reintegrate the value chain with themselves at the center of it. Now, obviously, inconsistency, that's one where products have a big difference. Obviously, on the service side, that's what creates commoditization. You know, if I'm a customer and I'm not guaranteed the same service every single time, then many substitutes may be as good as what you're already offering. You know, once the lights are turned off, one hotel room is often just as good as another. And frankly, there's not that big a difference when the lights are on. Now, if you're a manufacturer, if you make a product, clearly inconsistency is a thing you're trying to get out of your business. I mean, that's where Six Sigma comes from and all that. It's all about making sure that you are consistent. The thing that I would say is true, regardless of whether you make products or services, offer products or services, is that you can no longer hide inconsistency. Inconsistency is the death knell of brands as we go forward. And of course, when we talk about involvement, again, that's something where the customer really decides, is the experience what they need? Now, if you think about somebody like Amazon, they actually have a head of delivery experience. They actually have thought about when people get the package as part of the experience, and they know that how you get your items plays a key role in how much you enjoy your items. Their data tells them that, whether it's from reviews and things like that. But it underscores, once again, something I've talked about many times, that customer experience is queen. Now, why am I going down this rabbit hole? Why are we talking about this? Because it starts to beg the question of, what business are you really in? If you put yourself in your customer's shoes, where do they derive value in the chain? And why is what you offer meaningfully better than what they have? Because what we're starting to see are these hidden intermediaries. You know, you don't think about yourself as an intermediary. You don't think about your business as an intermediary. But in many industries, somebody has come along who've pointed out that there really is an intermediary, right? When we think about Airbnb, they've realized that the hotel company is really an intermediary between the guest and the real estate owner. When we think about Uber, the intermediary is the medallion provider between the driver and the passenger, or, you know, the regulatory body. When we think about Tesla, they really realized that the dealership is the intermediary. Why can't people just go directly to the manufacturer? When we think about Netflix, they've realized that, you know, the cable company is the intermediary. And of course, when we think about Etsy or eBay or Amazon, or especially Shopify, the retailer is the intermediary. So as we look at other industries, we have to start to say, who are the folks who are going to come in and make this happen, right? You know, in healthcare, today it's insurers. But if you look at Amazon's partnership with Berkshire Hathaway and JP Morgan, it suggests that another way might exist for people to get that service. If we look at labor or HR, you know, we have things like TaskRabbit or Mechanical Turk that start to say we can be a different type of intermediary. So that becomes really critical based on what you offer. Who's going to come into your marketplace and say, we're going to get in the middle in a different way and expose these intermediaries? You know, there's this crazy story I saw the other day where as we get to more complicated stuff, AI will play a role. There was a story the other day about an AI that was pitted against a group of lawyers reviewing an NDA. I'll put this in the show notes. And of course, the AI did a much better job. Now, as I've talked about before, AI isn't going to take your jobs away, but smart people with AI might. So as you go forward, you want to think about, am I in the service industry? And if I'm not today, will I be in the future? And if I will be, if somebody can come along who can offer what I offer my customers today as a service, am I doing a good job of making a tangible value tangible? Am I making sure that my inventory is available on the channels and at the times where my customers want it? Am I making sure that that separability factor, that inseparability factor, meets the experience that they're looking for? Is any inconsistency ironed out to such a degree that the customer feels good about their experience every single time? And is there a high degree of involvement that makes them happy with what they got? Put yourself in your customer's shoes. Think about where they derive value. Think about how you make that meaningfully better, and that'll help you figure out, okay, will your customers actually pay for it? And that's how you can start to compete when everything becomes a service. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week, but I'd like to remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode, as well as an archive of all of our episodes, by going to timpeter.com/podcast. Again, that's timpeter.com/podcast. Just look for episode 235. While you're there, you can also click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there to have this delivered to your favorite podcatcher every single week. You can also subscribe in iTunes or the Google Play Music Store or Stitcher Radio or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just search for Tim Peter Thinks, Thinks Out Loud, or Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud. We should show up for any of those. And if you could provide a positive rating on iTunes or the Google Play Store while you're there, I would really appreciate it. You can also contact me by going to facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @TCPeter, or via email by emailing podcast@TimPeter.com. Again, that's podcast@TimPeter.com. Once again, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Solo Segment. Solo Segment focuses on AI-driven content discovery and site search analytics that unlock revenue. You can learn more about how to improve your search results, increase your customer satisfaction, and drive business value by going to solosegment.com. Again, that is solosegment.com. And while I always appreciate our sponsors, I especially appreciate you. I'd like to thank you so much for tuning in. I really wouldn't do this if you weren't listening. So thanks so much for listening every single week. With that, I hope you have a great rest of the week, a wonderful week ahead, and I look forward to catching up with you here on Thinks Out Loud again next week. Until then, be well, be safe, and take care, everybody.